Of course, hoaxes always stir up debate, and this one's a real beauty. Meet Luther Blissett. He's a cultural terrorist, prolific and yet faceless. For the last few years, waging a campaign of hoaxes, pranks and disinformation to undermine, he says, the commercial agenda of Western cultural elites, no less. Actually, Luther Blissett is not a single person, but a pseudonym for an international network of individuals, often acting independently of each other. Nowhere has the movement attained higher public profile than in Italy. Jason DeRosso tracked down an Italian Luther who's been using the pseudonym for the last 5 years. So, who's Luther Blissett?
Luther Blissett is a collective pen name which hundreds of people, artists, activists, hackers, have been using for more than 5 years, all over Europe, as well as on the internet, which is a continent apart. In the early 80s, the original Luther Blissett was an Afro-Caribbean football player who played both in England and in Italy.
Yeah, he played for Inter Milan, didn't he?
Yes, exactly. Milan in 1983. Nobody really knows why his name was picked up by anonymous cultural guerrillas. Anyway, Luther Blissett became a post-modern folk hero, kind of a digital Robin Hood, whose reputation was and still is extended and improved by all kinds of radical actions, writings, performances, books, and there's no clear distinction between performance and public, because everyone is a potential Luther Blissett.
So everyone can use the name?
Actually, yes, we usually state that anybody can be Luther Blissett, but it's not completely true. For instance, the name cannot be used for fascist or racist issues, and no Luther Blissett work shall have a copyright.
It seems to me that there is an emphasis on the collaborative creative process, as opposed to the myth of, the genius or...
Yes, absolutely. This world is obsessed with copyrights and trademarks, but one of the few rules of the Luther Blissett project is no copyright. Everybody knows we cannot stain private property of concepts and ideas, so we don't believe in genius, we don't believe in the inspiration, which is a metaphysical concept and a very misleading one to boot. We think that everybody can create, can have bright ideas. Ideas should be free and stay open to further manipulation. False beliefs, like the belief in genius or in individual creation, and all legal restrictions and intellectual enclosures make people dumb. They say, you cannot use this, you cannot use that, that song is mine because I'm a genius, this is my idea. You'll never hear a Luther Blissett saying those words. Never, ever.
The mainstream art world often dismisses or seeks to marginalize critics and activists who attack it from outside, especially when they express their dissent with an intellectual language that is not traditionally accepted.
Right.
In January, a man called Piero Cannata defaced a Jackson Pollock painting, and Luther Blissett came to his defense almost straight away on the net, criticizing the art establishment's labeling of him as a criminal and a delinquent. What for you are the issues at the core of incidents like this, which are, of course, commonly labeled as cultural vandalism?
That's a good question. Okay. Yes, some of us know the geezer personally. He's 60-something, and he isn't mad. Indeed, he's got very consistent opinions on the alienation generated by the art system. He says that the art system thrives on turning potentially creative people into sheep, conformist worshippers of such concepts as I told you before, genius, inspiration, the individual, and so on, over and over again. All Pietro Cannata is trying to do is make those people think about their passive contemplation of the past. And nobody can deny he's got a point. I mean, one can disapprove of his tactics, yet this doesn't mean he deserves the treatment and isolation he's been suffering for years after his early intervention during the 80s. He's never had the chance to explain himself because the powers that be threw him in the madhouse. I think
In the matter, so they actually put him away in a mental institution.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, he has been subjected to shrink abuse for years. I think there's a really close link between art as an ideological and also economical swindle, and psychiatric treatment as an ideological weapon by which the state makes dissidents back off. That's precisely the point Luther Brisset tried to make by defending Cannata's latest action. It's only too easy to dismiss him as a psycho. And moreover, the actual damage he caused to Pollock's painting was highly overestimated. He used a small felt tip pen or a permanent marker, I'm not sure, but the scribbling he made was only 2 inches long. Very few people were able to tell Cannata's intervention from the scribblings that Pollock had made in the first place. And yet, after the cops busted Cannata, the press described him as some sort of serial killer or dangerous psychopath. It was ridiculous.
Okay, let's move on to something that was a recent incident that involved some Luther Blissets, and it received a lot of press attention in Italy. And it was the theft of some religious statues from a couple of churches in southern Italy. Could you describe for me this incident, and what was the church's reaction?
It was great. I mean, it happened last summer in Calabria, which is a region of southern Italy. Some guys stole ancient, valuable statues of the Holy Child from several churches. Then they sent the local media a ransom message whose signature was Luther Blissett. They demanded that the Catholic Church give 100 million lire to the homeless and the unemployed, otherwise Luther Blissett will destroy the statues. Of course, this caused a sensation in the media, but the church is so stingy and they couldn't care less about the statues, so no money was delivered to the skinned. And I think that those Luther guys, in the end, smashed the statues into little pieces. It was fun when I read the story in newspapers. I still think it was a bright idea, because at the end of the day, I believe kidnapping is one of the very few ways art can become useful for the people and a progressive thing.
Okay, let's move on to your novel now. It's the first Luther Blissett novel. It's called Q. And it's just been published in Italy this year. It received major critical acclaim. It was shortlisted for the Premio Strega, which is Italy's major literary award. And it's also been sold to publishers in France, Spain, and Germany, as well as, you know, other countries like Holland, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, Holland and Sweden.
It's actually been written by 4 different people, all, of course, using the Luther Blissett name, of which you are one. Was it difficult writing a book as part of a team?
No, it wasn't difficult. Creation is always collective. Writing is always collective. I mean, it doesn't come as a surprise if an essay is written by more people, or if a software is developed by several people, or a video game, or a screenplay for a movie, or, basically everything except for novels, because there's a very old prejudice about novelists who is isolated from the world and is in contact with his muse and creates by inspiration, like a sort of a divine touch from heaven. But all we did was demolish these very, very old and boring prejudice about literature.
What you also did, which was quite unique, was negotiate some anti-copyright clauses into the contract with the publisher. How difficult was this to do?
That was hard. That was really hard. It took months, actually, of struggle with the legal representatives of the publishing house. But we made it, and we are very proud of it. I think this is the first time a major corporate publishing house are forced to such an action.
Could you explain to me the clause?
Yeah, the clause is very simple. The book has no copyright for single readers who want to Xerox the book, for example, or scan it and put it on the internet, or anything similar. But the book is has legal consequences for all corporate sharks. For example, Universal couldn't make a movie out of the book without paying money to us, because we think that anti-copyright shouldn't be a pretext for allowing corporations to do anything they want.
Mm.
That's what we think. But the book has no copyright for any other person who is not registered as a company, whose purposes are not strictly commercial, and so the book is already on the net now.
The book begins during the Lutheran Reformation. The Lutheran Reformation in Europe, of course, and spans some decades. Now, to me, there are some very strong parallels between its protagonist, who's a German Anabaptist, and his struggle to free the Word of God from the authoritarian interpretations of the pulpit, and the modern-day Luther Blissitz, in their crusade against the ownership of intellectual property and so forth. How much of the book can be read as a direct metaphor for the project, the Luther Blissitz project?
Well, the whole book can be read as that, but the novel contains almost everything. First of all, it is a good old spy story, but then it is also a handbook of communication guerrilla warfare. It is a theological allegory for capitalism, contemporary capitalism. It is a critique of the European left wing. It is a history of the Luther Blissitz project in disguise, a history in disguise, of course. It is a character assassination of Martin Luther, and it is an assault on the year 2000 Holy Jubilee, which is devastating Italy's cultural life. Politicians are doing all they can to please the Vatican State. There's self-censorship and bigotry in all national media. Priests, nuns, and Vatican spokespersons appear every day on every TV channel 24 hours a day. I think this is disgusting. We are supposed to be a secular republic, but we are nothing more than a Vatican colony. And Q is about all that, after all. Critics and readers realized it. So far, we've sold more than 50,000 copies in 8 months, which is excellent for Italy. So I think the readers got the message.
Mm. Now, the journey of the main character in a cultural sense in Q represents a shift from the elitist to the populist. As a young man, he's very ideologically motivated, but as he gets older, his motivations become more personal, more human, and in a sense, I suppose, less rational. It strikes me that within the whole somewhat randomly linked universe of Luther Blissitz, there is a vein of anti-intellectualism, anti-posturing. It's embodied in the book's hero, who's considered a man of action. Is this a fair comment?
Yeah, that's because we are men and women of action ourselves. I mean, we don't care about highbrow speculation. We think that boredom is the worst thing. We wanted our novel to be compelling, a good story with class war, sex, violence, espionage, mystery, romance, blood, and witty dialogue. That's exactly what we read. James Earl Ray, Elmore Leonard, Paco Ignacio Taibo Jr. We don't give a damn about French philosophers, academical debates, Derrida, deconstruction, all the stuff. I think that life is elsewhere, and that's pretty much all I can say on this issue.
Now, many pioneer Luther Blissitz, yourself amongst them, have announced that they will be committing a sort of virtual suicide before the end of the year and leaving the group. Do you think the movement will be able to continue on without them, without you?
I hope so, and I think it will. We veterans are getting older. I'm 30 now, and we're getting bigger. I'm a full-time novelist. So if the project doesn't jettison its ballast, the name will be limited by its own history and weight. So people should feel free to use the name without caring too much about us, pioneers, or about previous experiences. That's why we are quitting. Those who have been Luther Blissitz for at least 4 or 5 years will leave off the project on New Year's Day, and newcomers are welcome to take over the project. That's all.
Jason DeRosso is talking to one of the many Luther Blissitz around the world, and I gather there's at least one other Blissitz within the ABC. And from 11 o'clock this morning, as part of ABC Online's Media Responsibility Week of forums, we'll be running an online discussion looking at media pranks and hoaxes. Guests will include at least one Luther Blissett, as well as Jason DeRosso and Matthew Thompson. Now, he's the founder of the mythical group Young People Against Heavy Metal T-Shirts, who shot to fame several years ago with his national movement, and, of course, was a guest on Arts Today. They'll all be at abc.net.au/future. I'll say that again, abc.net.au/future.